Tony Blackburn revealed that he'd been summarily sacked by the BBC, ostensibly because of his recollection of events in 1971 did not coincide with those of others. Now, I think this is yet another example of the BBC seizing on an individual to mask its own massive failings. I suppose I'm falling into their trap by starting off complaining about Tony Blackburn losing his job, rather than opening by saying what I think of Dame Janet Smith's conclusions. Now, seeing as I haven't heard many people on this radio station have a real go at criticising the BBC for their actions, let me do so right now. I'm not going to call into question Dame Janet Smith's integrity, but I do call into question her main conclusion, and that is that the BBC has no corporate culpability for what Jimmy Savile got away with. She says that although producers and floor managers were aware of his activities, senior managers were not. Therefore, they could not be held responsible for doing nothing. I think that's quite an astonishing conclusion on her part. Surely she's not naive enough to believe that senior managers weren't aware of internal BBC gossip. Of course they were. And they decided to do nothing, not to confront the issue. It was essentially put into the too difficult box. Not a single BBC manager had the balls to confront the issue head on. They can't be held responsible because many of them are now dead. Unfortunately, many of the genuine and serious criticisms made by Dame Janet of the BBC were masked by the main headline that she absolved the BBC of corporate culpability. Now, I watched Director General Tony Hall respond to her report. It was a polished performance. He said all the things he would be expected to say, and I guess he would, because his speech was clearly written by the BBC equivalent of Peter Mandelson. It ticked every box in terms of rhetoric, every box in terms of action. But it's kind of too late. The horse has bolted. Savile and Stuart Hall got away with it because they were allowed to. It's too simplistic to blame it on the so-called macho culture, whatever that is. A macho culture does not of itself mean that sexual abuse is tolerated or even encouraged. The term is something invented by an extreme version of feminism, which believes that every man is a potential sexual deviant, be it against women or children. What we need to do here is place the blame firstly at the feet of the perpetrators. They were sexual predators in the same way that a rapist of adult women is a sexual predator. They exist in all areas of our society, and it is surely up to all areas of society, business, politics, government, the church, to recognise this and draw up as many rules and systems to combat these people as possible. And that's, in essence, where the BBC has completely failed. It's where the church continues to fail and indeed even acknowledge the seriousness of the problem. I don't believe business has even begun to confront these issues. But there's no single answer. But we also need to blame, as indeed Dame Janet does in her report, the deferential culture and culture of fear that has always existed, and I believe still does exist, in some parts of the BBC. Dame Janet at least acknowledges this in her report. What we still don't know is how Tony Hall and his colleagues are going to tackle this. They could start by recruiting more women in management roles, flattening management structures and making them less hierarchical. So anyone who wishes to report something doesn't have to go to someone five levels above them in the pyramid of management, with all the intimidatory implications that follow from that. Now, Dame Janet identified 92 victims of Savile and Hall. I doubt very much whether they will be satisfied by the conclusions of this report. Some may say there is nothing that could satisfy them. Maybe. But in the end, if they cannot get some closure as a result of this report or from the forthcoming Goddard report, what has been the point of it all? All genuine victims want to know is that if they came forward in 2016 rather than in 1973, there's a strong chance that they will be taken seriously. What a shame some of the fantasists that have hindered Operation Yew Tree and Operation Midland have made it so much more difficult for genuine victims than it ever should have been. So the BBC can rest in the knowledge that it sacked Tony Blackburn, blackened his name, and by this act implied that he's hindered the Smith inquiry, or worse. Shame on them for that. Shame on them for trying to mask their own inadequacies and their own shame for their failures over Savile by throwing a dead cat called Tony Blackburn onto the table. Personally, I hope he sees the backside of them. So over the next 45 minutes, I've got these questions for you to answer. Do you think, unlike Dame Janet Smith, do you think the BBC is corporately culpable? Do you believe that people high up the management structure did know what Saba was up to, but they deliberately ignored it? And where does a culture of fear emanate from in any organisation? And does a deferential culture or a culture of fear exist today in the BBC? Does it in your own organisation? And have you tried to break through it? And if you have tried, what happened? And does the fact that we're in a less deferential society in 2016 compared to 1993, 1983 or even 1973, does that mean that a Jimmy Savile of 2016 actually could not get away with it nowadays? Or do you think that nothing has really changed? You'd have to hope that since the 1970s and 1980s, something would have changed, not just in the BBC, but in society in general, that we, as a society, look at these things in an entirely different way. Do you disagree with me about this macho culture idea? I don't believe that a laddish culture, a macho culture, necessarily leads people to indulging in that kind of behaviour. Surely nowadays, we would think that that kind of behaviour is totally unacceptable.